Why is prayer so hard? I think many of us find prayer a hard thing to do. When I catch up with guys here at church and we go grab coffee or lunch or something, we chat, we read the Bible, we pray together, one of the questions I ask people is, how are you going at praying and reading the Bible? And almost always that gets someone a bit uncomfortable. I don't pray as much as I should. I don't pray as deeply or as passionately as I should. As Steve said last week, what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. It's one of the basics of the Christian life. But it's a basic. So why is it so hard? Why is it one of those things that we feel bad about? So this morning we're going to be thinking about how to pray. Last week we talked about why pray. This week it's how to pray. And my goal for this morning is to encourage us to pray, to remind us of the great privilege it is to speak to the almighty, powerful creator of the universe. The great privilege it is to tell him about what makes us anxious and to ask him for things. And also, I want us to get practical. What can we do so that we actually do pray and not just feel bad about our lack of prayer or the poorness of our prayer? But from one angle, the question of how to pray is actually the wrong question to ask. If the reason why you ask how do we pray is because we think that there's got to be special words or we have to put our body in a particular posture or shape or place, then it's the wrong question to ask. Because that makes prayer like some kind of magic spell. If we say the spell correctly, then God will hear us and do what we say. Or we might be asking that question because we think, well, the only way I can approach the God of heaven is if I've got myself all sorted and I do this prayer thing in the right way. But that gets our relationship with God all upside down, doesn't it? Being a Christian is entirely shaped by the gospel of Jesus, including prayer. The gospel says that Jesus is the holy, perfect Son of God who died in our place because we, as sinful people, have no way in ourselves to be right before God. So when we pray, why do we think that it's going to be based on our strength? Why do we think that we can even do prayer right? No, we approach God the Father because in Jesus we are his children whom he loves. And when a child goes and talks to their parents and they're really communicating, not just whinging, but they're telling their parents what's on their heart, what's in their mind, there's not a right way for them to speak. We don't make them make an appointment with us. We don't get on their case about using the right grammar. We listen to them because of the nature of the relationship between a parent and their child. And so in that same kind of way, because God is our Father, it's not really the right question, is it? How do we pray? We just talk to God. But from another angle, it is the right question. When Luke records what we call the Lord's Prayer, it's in Luke chapter 11, he talks about a time when the disciples go up to Jesus and ask him, teach us how to pray. We need to be taught how to pray because of who God is and because of who we are. We are sinners. And so naturally we run away from God rather than coming to God in prayer. And also, God is God. In prayer, we are talking to the all-powerful creator of the universe. God is incomparable. He dwells in unapproachable light. And so how can we pray to him? Well, as we read from Matthew 6 before, Jesus teaches us how not to pray, teaches his disciples how not to pray. What is wrong? What is it that's wrong about how the hypocrites and the pagans pray in Matthew 6, 5-8? Especially if, as I just said, it's actually the wrong question to worry about how to pray. There's no wrong way to pray as God's children talking to God our Father. Well, what's wrong with the way these people are praying there at the beginning of Matthew 6 is that they're not praying in a way that is shaped by the gospel. If you look at the two examples there in Matthew 6, I hope you've still got your Bible open there to Matthew 6, both of them are praying in a way that is against who God is revealed to be in the gospel. The hypocrites, the way they pray shows that they think, look, I'm good enough for God. In fact, God should listen to me because of how good I am. God deserves someone good like me to talk to him. And you can see that in the way that for them, prayer is about showing off. It's not coming to God as a sinner who needs God's grace, but telling the world and telling God, look how great I am. Isn't it good for God to have someone like me on his side? And the pagans, the second group there, well, they think that if they use the right words or if they use lots of words, then maybe God will be bothered to listen to them, like the prophets of Baal that we heard about last week from 1 Kings 18. But the gospel tells us that God is our good and loving Father and that he is sovereign. We can't manipulate God. We can't force him to do anything. And even if we could force him to do anything, we wouldn't want to, because we know that as our good Father, he listens to us and gives us good things. So let's read again from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. So Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Can you see what's wrong with these prayers? They're not praying in a way that is shaped by the gospel. They're pretending to be something that they're not, which is easily our trap, isn't it? We can be so used to putting on the Christian face, don't like let anyone close enough to see my failings and my sin and my doubt, and so we keep on that pretending even to God, which doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, does it? Because God knows the truth, and we know the truth about God. Jesus died because he loves the true you. So if we're not to be pretending when we pray, then we need to be real. When you pray and you feel weak or you don't know what to say, or if you feel too guilty to speak with God, or if you keep finding yourself distracted, I know I do, well, tell that to God. Ask him for his help, his mercy and forgiveness. It's no use pretending that you've got it all under control, because the gospel says that we don't. But also don't give up. We keep bumbling and fumbling our way through prayer because we know that God is our loving Father who sent his Son and given us his Spirit, and we have this immense privilege of speaking to him. So if that's how we're not to pray, if we're not to pray in the way that those verses there, Matthew 6, 5 and so on say, how should we pray? We don't have time to dig into everything, every prayer in the Bible, but today I just want us to have a little think about how the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 and 10, just those first few verses say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. How do those, just that little introduction, how does that help us to think about how we pray? And then I'm going to get practical and help us to think practically on how to pray. So first up, when we pray humbly. I think that's already obvious what we've said about our prayer being shaped by the gospel. The gospel is a humbling message, isn't it? Acknowledging that God is God and I'm not, and repenting and trusting and turning to God. And you can see this idea of humility in verses 9 and 10. Who is the God we're speaking to when we pray? He is the God who is in heaven. God isn't just something inside our head. He's not just, like the Greek philosophers thought, the best thing that can possibly be imagined. No, he is the God of heaven, and we are the created things, the creatures. And so when we pray to God, we ask God for things. When we pray, we're asking God. We're not commanding or demanding. We might be desperate. I think often we should be desperate, begging God for things, but we're asking, not demanding. There's a difference when your child comes up to you and says, food. And when they say, please, Daddy, may I have a sandwich? When we pray, we ask in a humble way that reflects who we are and who God is. And it's humility, isn't it, that actually leads us to ask God for things. One of the reasons we don't pray is because we delude ourselves and we think that we've got it all under control. To pray requires us to admit that we're not God, we don't have everything under control, and that every good thing that we do have comes from our loving Father. But knowing who we are in Christ and who God is, also means that we pray boldly. In the lead up to Easter at Night Church, we studied the book of Esther. In the story of Esther, Queen Esther needs to approach King Xerxes to beg him to stop the Jewish people from being annihilated, to stop a genocide. But she's afraid. She's afraid to approach the king, her husband, because the king has the right to execute anyone who approaches him without an invitation. We don't have that with God. Because of Jesus, God the Son, because Jesus stands before God the Father for us, the invitation is always open. God is a much more powerful and a much more scary king than King Xerxes. But if we cling to Jesus, if we're united to Jesus by faith, we can just walk into that throne room, present any problem or request we have to God. This is how Hebrews 4 puts it. We read it at the beginning. I think these verses are talking about more than prayer, but they definitely are talking about prayer. Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. One of the things that stops us from praying is we wonder why God would ever listen to us. I'm unimportant. I'm too guilty, too ashamed. But because of Jesus, you matter to God, and your guilt and shame has been dealt with by Jesus. You can pray boldly to God. And while we're talking about boldness, often in our circles, I reckon there can be a certain hesitancy when we are praying. So say you're praying for someone who's got a terrible illness, maybe it's chronic or terminal, or you're praying for someone who's hardened to the gospel and you've been praying for years that they might come to Christ. And so when we pray, we say something like this: Dear God, if it's your will, if it's for your glory, I ask perhaps that you might think about healing Jenny. But if that's not your will, and I probably think it's not, I pray that you'll know your comforting presence. Now, that might be a way of expressing humility in prayer, but for me, when I pray that way, it's doubt. I'm doubting that God can or will act. I'm the double-minded person that James talks about. I reckon the way that we can be both humble and bold in our prayers is just to ask God, just tell him what our heart desires, and do it in a way that sounds like we're asking or pleading or begging, but not demanding. Please, God, I desperately want my wife to be healed. Heal her, please. Please, God, I desperately want my friend to know Jesus. Save him, please. Please, God, I need a job. Please make this application successful. Just be straight up with your desires because of who we're asking. We're asking God, our loving Father. All right, so we've seen how not to pray. And we're not to pray in a way that doesn't fit the gospel, like the hypocrites or the pagans there in Matthew 6, and we're to pray humbly and boldly. I'm sure there are other adverbs you can think of in the way that we pray, but to finish up, I'm going to get practical and talk about actually getting praying happening. How can we plan to pray, and then how can we pray without ceasing? I reckon that many of us find it pretty hard to plan to pray, to make a regular time in our routine where we stop other things and pray. I can't see any clear instructions in the Bible that say that we have to do this, though there are examples throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, for example, we've got Daniel praying three times a day. We've got the way that Jesus spent time alone praying. I reckon just the language, the way that prayer is talked about in the New Testament, particularly, say, for example, Paul asking the Christians in Rome to pray for him, the other ways that Paul talks about prayer, it just seems to make sense that he's talking about something that you set aside time to do. And I reckon we need to make time to pray, because the kind of praying we might do sporadically throughout the day, it's often about the things that are just presented to us, the things that just come up against us, which are important, but they're often just about me and my world. And we often forget to pray the Your Kingdom Come kind of things when we pray, if that's the only way that we pray. So how do you find time to pray? Well, you don't. You can't find time. Time isn't something that's just lying on the ground. Oh, great, I've got myself some more time. No, you've got to make time, don't you? You need to make something part of your routine. Make it the first thing you do after you drop off the kids at school. You get back in the car and pray during the commute to work. When you have your first cuppa for the day, over breakfast, after dinner, set your alarm 15 minutes earlier. When you exercise, though it can be hard to remember when you're exercising what it is to say, maybe before you go to sleep, but for me that means I say, Dear God, Amen, when I wake up. Look, maybe it does work for you, but honestly, I don't think it does. Look, let's just be honest. And so if you've made time for prayer in your routine, what do you do when you pray? Well, you get rid of distractions. Computer off, phone far away. That's what I need to do anyway. Though I also need to have a bit of paper with me and a pen to write things down. It's amazing how, as you're praying, your to-do list or your shopping list just comes dive-bombing into your brain at that very moment. So I need somewhere you can write it down, get it out of your head, and get back to praying. I reckon if the location works, pray out loud. I have to do this, otherwise my mind wanders. And also, I read this point, I love this little quote, praying out loud is more than a technique. I think it's a good technique. It's also a statement of faith. You are audibly declaring your belief in a God who is alive. Prayer can be hard because we're tempted to think, look, it's just in my head. It's just thoughts in my head. But praying out loud, it might work to remind us that we're speaking to the God who is there and who is listening. Put together a list of things to pray for. Maybe something like what I've got up on the screen there. That way you'll remember to pray for things beyond your immediate needs. Pull out the church directory and pray for a page. It's only 3 or 4 photos. It doesn't take that long to pray for a page in the church directory. And if you don't know what to pray for a person in the church directory, maybe someone you don't know particularly well, have a look at the start of one of Paul's letters. There are some brilliant ideas of what to pray there for fellow believers. I used to have a table like that stuck up on my wall in front of my desk, but I've moved now to using an app because, look, I'm so 21st century. The app I use is called PrayerMate. It's great. You type in the people you want to pray for, and it cycles through. You say, look, I've got time to pray for 5 people in a session, and so it just brings up the next 5 people on your prayer list and cycles them around. You can break them up into different categories, your friends, your people you're praying for who aren't Christian, missionaries, people at church, and it cycles through. One of the great things about PrayerMate, you can also subscribe to prayer lists like UQES. So you can be praying for Dan and Brownie and Rachel. I've also put into this app some Puritan prayers and some prayers from the Anglican prayer book because they help me expand my prayer vocabulary. They make me pray about things that I wouldn't normally do, particularly sort of praising God. I'm not good at that naturally, but I've got some other people who've written some great ideas of how to do that. It's free at the moment. It'll probably be free for a while. The guy's got some sponsors to help pay for it. You can get it for your iPhone, iPad, Android, doohickeys, whatever they're called. And it's, I've said it's free. It's free. It's brilliant. I can't give you a lesson on how to use it now, but maybe you want to come and chat to me later after you've installed it. Next week, I'll give you the hints. Another idea, some people journal. They write down the things that they've been praying for, and then they go back through later and reflect on how God has answered prayer. Look, that doesn't work for me, but it might for you. If you don't make time to pray at the moment, if that's at the moment you're planning to pray time is 0, I reckon don't jump in and try and aim for doing it 7 days a week. That's not how we do things. I reckon find 3 times a week, or 2 or 3 times a week, where you can look at your routine, your schedule, and go, right, there are 3 times a week I can plan to pray, and start there and grow from there. All right. That's planning to pray. How about praying without ceasing? This one is commanded in the Bible. It's all through the New Testament, like 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. That's all the verse says. That's your memory verse for this week. Pray continually, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. But what does that mean? I reckon pray continually, it's a little bit keep persevering with making prayer part of your routine. Don't give up. The Bible often talks about prayer as a struggle, as hard work. Lots of things are against us when we pray. The weakness of the flesh, the temptation of Satan, the world is busy, the world thinks we're crazy, that we're talking to an invisible friend. We need encouragement to keep on praying, and I hope that last week and this week have been that. But I reckon pray continually is also, it's the arrow prayer, Colin Buchanan's arrow prayer. Something happens, you shoot up a quick prayer to God. It might be a quick thank you, God, when something good happens. It might be a quick help me, God, when something's going bad. It might be praying as you're watching the news. This week I was out having a coffee, and it was super encouraging. I overheard one of the baristas evangelizing his co-worker. As he sat there making coffees, he was just chatting to his co-worker about what it means to trust in Jesus. That was an arrow prayer moment, asking God to help this bloke and to give his mates ears to hear, and also thanking God for the encouragement it was to me that I got to overhear this moment. I didn't go to that cafe to pray, but I heard something, arrow prayer moment. That's when I'm going to stop clapping. All right. So how do we pray? Prayer has got to be something that grows out of the gospel. Prayer is speaking to God, our loving Father, speaking boldly because of what Jesus has done and as the Spirit enables us. We pray humbly, asking God. We remember who the God is that we are praying to, that we need God. We pray boldly because of who we are in Christ. We need to plan to pray, and we need to keep on praying. And I hope these 2 weeks have been an encouragement to us to pray. And let's do that now. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you that everything about our relationship with you, our walk with Jesus from start to finish, is based on and shaped in the gospel. We praise you for this because we know that we don't deserve to approach you, and we don't know how to do it. Yet, because you in Christ are our loving Father, we can boldly speak to you about everything and anything. Please help us to be humble, to know that we need you and that our self-dependence is an illusion. Please help us to humbly approach you, knowing that you are the Almighty God and that we are your creatures. Please help us to be bold, to know we can enter your throne room. The invitation is always open because of your Son. Help us to trust in your goodness and not be double-minded. Please help us to make time to pray. Help us to remember the privilege of speaking with you and to not allow other things to squash our prayer. And help us to continue in prayer, to not give up because of the things that make prayer hard, but to keep remembering that you are with us always, and because of Jesus, we can speak to you anytime. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.